Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Grand Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Molly and Haw.
Bigs time.
The Bigs Report with Brad Biggs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Any surprises for you in the final assessment of the roster? Any surprises in terms of maybe some of the injuries being more severe, less severe than you imagined?
I don't think there were any big surprises. You know, I didn't think Velus Jones was going to make it. Am I surprised he did? No. Like, that could have gone either way. I think there was probably a small handful of things where with different guys you looked at it and you said, well, yeah, I could see, you know, either side of the fence for this guy. But otherwise, I think it was what you sort of expected. On the injury front, they got some good news. It's not a season-ending injury for Larry Borum. Anytime you see the cart come out and the guy can't put any weight on his leg, your mind can wander to worst possible scenario, but he's designated to return. Ryan Bates back in action here soon, so they've got a little more health there. And we'll just have to see what the injury report looks like next Wednesday, right?
Help us understand what's going on with the long snapper position, and then you reported or followed up on a report about, I think, the defensive tackle from the Patriots, Charles.
Yeah, well,
or is it Roberts?
Sam Roberts.
Sam Roberts.
Yeah, nothing's been done with him because he was in Foxborough. Probably. So they've got to get him across the country, get him to take physical, that kind of thing. It's my understanding the Bears are going to sign Scott Daly to the practice squad. He spent the last three seasons, 42 games with the Detroit Lions as their long snapper. Came out of Notre Dame before that, Downers Grove South. Took a while for him to get a real shot in the league. He's a guy that bounced around in some of those, offshoot leagues that are no longer out there. But finally got an opportunity to replace Molbach, who'd been the long snapper for Detroit forever. He was like the Patrick Manley of the Lions, and did well. But he got beat out this summer by an undrafted rookie free agent. And so Daly's going to be the guy. I think they're going to put him on the practice squad. I think the initial plan here is to elevate him to the game day roster for week one against Tennessee. And that's a maneuver the Bears can do three times. You can elevate a guy for a specific weekend up to three times, and then it's you'd have to move him to the 53 because Patrick Scales is going to miss some time. He's having back surgery today, and the earliest Scales would be back, I would think, would be, you know, week seven maybe. So doing the elevation thing with Daly for a couple weeks anyway gives them an opportunity to juggle the roster in some different spots before they've got to devote a spot to the long snapper.
Do you believe that the offensive line is as good as Ryan Poehl seems to believe? Do you feel like this starting five is the starting five that will be with them all year long, or is this a version of the starting five, but not the best version?
Well, it gets really super long odds for the starting five to be the starting five all season long. Like it's been forever since the Bears had five offensive linemen start all 16 games, and now they've got to start 17 games. And the Bears obviously haven't had that happen the last couple of years with as many moving parts as they've had up front. They like Coleman Shelton at center. They think he's going to settle some things down there. They're hopeful that Darnell Wright has greater consistency, I think, to his play in year two, that he can make a natural progression. They seem comfortable with Braxton Jones, and you know, he's a guy, when training camp opened, you're like, okay, you're going to be healthy. Where's he at? And he's been out there. He's been healthy. And they feel like Tevin Jenkins is at the best that he's been at. So I don't have any issue with him saying it's the best offensive line that they've had since Ryan Poehl has been here. That's, you know, probably kind of a low bar to clear. But one of the things that we don't talk a whole lot about, and I know we've mentioned it on here, is if the quarterback Caleb Williams can play on time and in rhythm with more consistency than Justin Fields did, the offensive line could be at the same skill level it was at a year ago, and it would look a heck of a lot better. You know, when those guys aren't asked to protect for an extended period of time on such a high percentage of snaps, they're going to be more effective. They're going to look more effective. And I think that's one of the things that's kind of been overlooked in this whole thing, is it was an offensive line that wasn't great, that was put in some difficult spots.
I think it's a good point, Brad. The quarterback as pass protector is something that we haven't seen, and Caleb Williams offers you that possibility. It's a good point. Let's talk about the quarterback position. How surprised are you that the Bears chose not to go with the veteran Brett Rypien? Looks like Austin Reed is on the practice squad. Is that going to be something subject for change? Do you think that Rypien comes back? If not, the Bears will have the youngest quarterback room in the league by far.
Yeah, that's a little interesting. One thing, and this is just pure, I'm not even going to call it speculation, it just popped into my mind, like, is Rypien hopeful to get an opportunity somewhere else, right? Is it, let me see what else is out there, and they're like, oh, well, Austin Reed's fine with us. You know, I don't know, because Rypien certainly, as the practice squad guy behind Caleb Williams and Tyson Bajan, it's pretty clear it would take some pretty extreme measures for him to get on the field, right? But, yeah, Austin Reed, you know, they obviously liked him coming out. It's a young room. There's no shortage of guidance in that room, though. They've got a long list of people who somewhere and their job description involves working with the quarterback, and that includes the head coach Matt Eberflus through Shane Waldron and the position coach. They've got Thomas Brown, the passing game coordinator. They've got a couple guys that have the title of quarterback and wide receivers assistant. You get questions all the time. Well, shouldn't they have a veteran quarterback to help the quarterback? And I'm like, players want to be signed to play. Players don't want to be signed to be assistant coaches. Coaches are there to coach and develop the talent.
I'm curious, when we look at their defensive line, for instance, there's obviously 10 defensive linemen. You talked about signing another guy to the practice squad, but elevating him for the game. Where are they at in terms of the health and the ability of those guys? Zach Pickens, clearly, if you're signing if you're keeping an extra guy and you're signing another one, that would indicate he's not ready to go in the first game, right?
Yeah, that was my first reaction, is that Pickens with the hamstring, it's a groin, I believe, maybe isn't ready week one. But, hey, that they didn't put him on IR tells you they're expecting him to play in September. They've got huge numbers at defensive end. They've got 6 defensive ends on the 53-man roster. They've got designated a return for Jacob Martin from IR with a toe injury, so he'd be a 7th defensive end. Like, to me, what 7? You can't carry 7 on the 53, and I don't know how long you can carry 6. Like, at some point, you're going to have an issue crop up elsewhere. Like, they're going to have to devote a spot to a snapper here soon. That might not be something that could continue. But for the time being, I think what you're doing is you're looking to mix and match with different guys on the edge and find someone that can generate some pass rush with some consistency and maybe get a little bit of a foothold there. They are attacking that issue with numbers right now, with volume of players, and see if someone can get hot and go from there.
What is your level of concern? What is the Bears' level of concern with Keenan Allen and the cleat issue that Matt Eberflus alluded to yesterday?
Yeah, I think that's pretty minor. You would hope so, right? I mean, Keenan missed some time at the end of last season, but I think it was hamstring related. He's a veteran. I think he knows what it takes to get ready for week one. And listen, he's in a contract year, right? If he wants another sizable contract as a guy who's on the wrong side of 30, he is smart enough to know that he's got to put up some production this season to be able to get that, or it'll be viewed as he's a guy who's really beginning to slow down, whether or not he got a ton of opportunities in the offense or not. So I think he'll be ready.
It's felt as if Ryan Poles was sort of he didn't want to say that the Bears have to win or else or anything along those lines. He kind of avoided laying out expectations for wins and losses. Is that discipline? Does he believe that he shouldn't say that, or is that just not wanting to express too much ambition?
I don't think you want to act like you've arrived, mm-hmm. right? They haven't pulled anything off yet. I mean, on his resume is a 10-24 record. The same with the head coach. So I think there's an element of that. Those could be trick bag questions for GMs in every sport at the start of the season. What is your expectation for this season? Because everyone wants to hear playoffs, but if you hear something that's really strong, okay, hey, put the coach on record. If they don't go to the playoffs, he's going to serve the coach's head up on a platter. So I think guys generally are sort of cautious about how they handle that. But there's no mystery here. They expect to be improved over a 7-10 season a year ago. And if they can get to 10 wins with a young team, I think they'd feel pretty darn good. Would they? Should you put a cap on that at 10? No. So if you get if you can get to double digits anymore with seven teams in the playoffs, you're pretty much in unless something extraordinary happens in the conference. So I was fine with how he handled that yesterday.
Brad, a lot of stuff going on around the league. Wanted to get your opinion. What did you think of Russell Wilson beating out Justin Fields for the starting quarterback job with the Steelers? And what does it say about maybe some of the faith that was invested in Justin Fields a year ago?
Well, I don't even know how much Wilson beat him out. Wilson hardly played. Like Wilson got 25 snaps, I think, total in preseason. He missed a whole bunch of camp with it was like a hamstring or a calf issue. I think Wilson was kind of the guy they ID'd all along, and Fields didn't do anything to shift that. And you wonder about the fanatical people who were believing that Justin Fields was the guy for the future and all time in Chicago. Like, where have those folks gone? Where's the accountability for some of those people? You guys could spend the rest of the show today and the entire show tomorrow pulling receipts from other shows on your station of people saying some bonkers stuff about Fields over the last 2 years, but he was in a spot that looked like maybe the best position he could be to get a starting position, and the Steelers went with Wilson. Does that mean Justin won't start this season? No, not at all. I'd be highly surprised if Russell Wilson was the starter for 17 games. And when Fields gets out there, he might do well. But the stuff that people saw in preseason, I think, is what you saw throughout his time with the Chicago Bears.
I kind of like the way Poles answered when asked about his expectations for Williams. He said that he wanted him to lean on the talent around him. And then when the moment was right, and it's an instinctual thing to know when that's right, he wanted him to do the special, get special, be special. That seems like it's about right, because we've been trying to articulate how you want a guy to, you don't want to coach the aggressiveness out of him, but you want him to take what's there and to take advantage of what they have around him, and maybe not, you know, be content to move the chains until he's content to score a touchdown, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think he used the term point guard, which you hear from time to time with the quarterback position. And why not with all the talent he's got around him? It's like you're a point guard with nothing but scorers around you. You might as well get the ball out of your hands. And to be a point guard, I think what you need to do is what I touched on a little bit earlier. It play within the rhythm of the offense, be on time, right? Just get the ball out, and then when the crazy plays happen where you see him dodge two defenders in the pocket, sidestep another one, create some time, and then make a connection downfield for 35 yards, that's fantastic. But you can't be your meat and potatoes of your offense, right? That it won't work, and that won't be sustainable, and that won't take them to the next level on a consistent basis. But so I thought that was a great point by Ryan Poles, and it's a little bit of a fine line, because you want him to use that extreme talent that he has, and you're looking forward to seeing that every Sunday. But there's nothing wrong with being super accurate on a quick pass to Keenan Allen that gets you 12 yards on a second and 10 slant route, right? Move the chains. You got a new first down. Keep the drive going.
I know he has favorite status because he was a draft pick a year ago, but we have not seen much of Roschon Johnson this preseason. I know he remains a little bit banged up. Does he have a role on this team, Brad?
Yeah, I think when healthy, you're going to likely see him mixed in a little bit in the backfield, right? And that's where it's going to be difficult, because I think they're in a position where they could lean on DeAndre Swift to be a really big part of this offense. Like they paid him some money. They believe in the talent there. you want to help a rookie quarterback out by doing what? By running the football. Your offensive line's going to love it if you go into the game plan hoping to run the football and keep running the football. So if you're doing that with Swift, and let's say Swift's getting 14, 15 carries. I'm not talking anything crazy here, but there's only a handful there then to give to Herbert and Roshan. So it's tough for your running backs behind Swift to get into a rhythm, but he'll have to make the most of it. And I think he'll be valuable on special teams, but they've got certainly improved depth to where they were the past 2 years, or, you know, at the end for the previous regime as well.
Is there any chance that they would have a tryout for long snappers? Are they now content that they got a guy, he's going to be their guy, or would they want to, bring a couple guys in just to see?
A tryout wouldn't surprise me, but as I reported yesterday, I think Daly's the guy, and I think he'll start on the practice squad. That didn't happen yesterday.
Yeah.
I would think they would want a long snapper out there in practice today just to begin working with your rookie holder, Torrey Taylor, so they can get establish a comfort level between now and September 8th.
Good stuff, Brad.
Great stuff, Britt. Thanks, Bigsy.
We'll be checking for those receipts.
Thanks, guys.
All right, take care.
Yeah.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune. It's the opening night of college football. I'm sure Bigsy's going to be watching that Missouri game. We should have asked him if he likes Murray the Cop State. That's who they're playing. But we're going to bring in Matt Fortuna, and we're going to talk a little bit about college football. Huge weekend, huge opening night tonight, a total of a massive amount, 21 games tonight in and of itself. And we'll talk to Matt about it. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We love technology, and everybody's all excited with the iPads. I was the only coach in the country to vote against. I'm like, well, I don't want iPads. I want to... The old days, you actually watch the action, figure out what's going on. You had to go make adjustments. You don't get, like, I can get it 9-year-old kid to watch the play on iPad and say, listen, that guy was running wide open up the seam. We should cover him, right? Like, all the technology, it's you know, smart by the technology people that sell it. Like, but I hate all of it. So I used to like when you had a coach. Now you're fucking anybody coach. I got an iPad. I'd watch every single play right after it happened. Like, you used to have to make in-game adjustments. Now the iPad will make them for you. Pretty soon there'd be robots outside. You only have to hire us. You wouldn't even be talking to me. You know, it'd be great. Oh, this is great. This technology. Like, we'll have fake officials, fake players. Fake will just be like playing NCAA 25, you know. Just fucking play video game.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the score. Frank Martin yells at clouds.
Yeah.
Huh? Was that not
Chuck Martin, the coach of the Miami of Ohio.
Oh,
defending,
Frank, I'm on the basketball.
Yeah, I'm basketball. Yeah. The defending MAC champions. They played Northwestern on Saturday on the lakefront in Evanston. That'll be a fun game. And he was.
The Wi-Fi's working.
Complaining in a rant mode. Funny stuff, though.
Yeah.
Good coach.
Funny.
Good football coach.
Let's get to the hotline. It is the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. And there we find Matt Fortuna. It is a big night tonight, Matt. 21 games, the start in earnest of the college football season in America. Let's add that. Hi, Matt. How are you, bud?
I'm great. I'm even better now that I got to start this segment by listening to my friend Chuck Martin rant as only he can do.
That's no hysterical. Doubt about it.
That was really good stuff. Let's start with Northwestern and Miami then on Saturday. What do you think is going to happen? And how much different is this year for David Braun in charge of Northwestern as the reigning Big Ten Coach of the Year? Much different circumstances than a year ago.
Yeah, David, it's completely different. I mean, no one really knew who this guy was last year. He had never worked at the FBS level in any capacity. And all of a sudden, he's taken over a one-win program with a fractured locker room at a university that's going through a lot of trust issues, to put it lightly, right? And they did not get off to a great start last year, I think, which is what gets overlooked with the work David Braun did last year. I mean, that was a bad football team that started off really bad, and you were wondering if they were even going to win an FBS game last year. And by the end of it, they're on this big winning streak. They win 8 games. They win the Vegas Bowl. He gets promoted. And now you've got this stadium situation, which, while very stressful for everyone involved there in the off season, I think ultimately is going to create a home field advantage and a really cool atmosphere at Northwestern during this little interim period this year, next year, that they never really had before, right? I mean, Ryan Field got blown up for a reason. It was a dump. It was an old stadium. It was the extra home venue of pretty much every Big Ten team they played, because all the Chicago alumni would show out for that. Now you've got this tiny 15,000 capacity structure literally on the lakefront, and it's going to be all Northwestern fans. It's going to be cold. It's going to be windy. Campus is going to be activated. All that green space right there are going to be beer gardens and tailgating scenes. It's going to resemble a real atmosphere, and I'm curious and excited to see how Northwestern and the football program respond to it.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about that. It's really kind of cool as the until they get the new building up, and the old stadium is gone, and they're really doing some work there. I'm curious, with the changing nature of the Big Ten, right now it's 18 teams. How are we looking at this? It just seems like there's so much change, and you know. Ditto the SEC. How are we evaluating all of these programs? I mean, Ryan Day has got a lot of pressure on him. He's expected to win. I understand that. But generally speaking, with the changes at Michigan, the defending champs, with the expansion of the conference, what does that take a different viewpoint to the conference? Do we have to look at things a little differently?
Yeah, I think so, particularly with schools like Northwestern that were in the West in past years and had an easier annual round of opponents, whereas now it's kind of a free-for-all, right? I mean, Northwestern, Minnesota, I'll use those two schools for example. You know, Northwestern won 8 games last year. Minnesota has done it multiple times under P.J. Fleck. Are those fan bases ready to accept the fact that 6-6 is the new 8-4, right? Like, in a pro market, are they going to understand – that this is not the Big Ten West, where you're playing Iowa, Purdue, Wisconsin, Nebraska, and you're avoiding Ohio State and Michigan for the most part, right? You have an easier round of opponents. Now, you're going to be playing an Ohio State or a Michigan. You're going to be playing a USC or an Oregon or a Washington. It's going to be much, much different. And I'm curious to see how the newcomers change the overall makeup and style of play, right? It felt like both divisions in the past had a distinct style of play, particularly in the Big Ten West. They all played a similar style of football. What's that going to be like as the Big Ten expands coast to coast and as you play a different round of opponents? Now, conversely, you look at schools like Iowa, Rutgers, Penn State, at least this year, their schedules are relatively easy, you know, to some of the other Big Ten teams, right? Penn State does not play Michigan this year. They do not play Oregon. They get Ohio State at home. They get Washington at home. This is a team that, you know, has won 10-plus games multiple years in a row but couldn't get over that proverbial hump by beating Ohio State and Michigan. Well, this year you only need to beat one of them, right? And even then, if you go 10-2, you're probably getting the playoff in the Big Ten this year. Same with Iowa. They have a remarkably easy Big Ten schedule, relatively speaking. And a team like Rutgers, no one's calling them a playoff contender, but that's a team. If everything breaks right for them and they take advantage of the schedule and they stay healthy, they could win 8 or 9 games and really get a huge momentum boost for a program that's in need of it.
Let's talk about Illinois, Matt. So you look at Brett Bielema, and they start tonight against Illinois, against Eastern Illinois. And in four seasons, Bielema is 18-19. And last year, I think his salary kicked in, so he's a $6 million man. I don't know what kind of urgency he's facing with his boss, Josh Whitman. I don't know if this is a make-or-break year for Brett Bielema. How are you looking at this season for the Illini, and how good might they be?
Yeah, David, I'm with you. I would not call it a make-or-break season. I don't think there's any like proverbial pressure or hot seat or anything like that. I think, you know, Brett Bielema likes Illinois, and Illinois likes Brett Bielema, right? Obviously, last year on the field did not go according to plan, and they need to bounce back this season. But I am curious about the long-term outlook of them for the reasons you just outlined. And going back to the last question a little bit, you talk about Big Ten West football. Well, Brett Bielema was kind of like the avatar for that, right? Mm-hmm. He's done it at Illinois. He did it at Wisconsin. He did it as an assistant coach and player at Iowa before that. You know, when they hired Brett Bielema, I think they had the vision in mind of being the next Wisconsin or Iowa, that team that's going to beat you in the trenches, win 8 games, maybe 10 games in a really good year, and get to Indianapolis for the Big Ten title game, which they were very, very close to doing his second year there in Champaign. Obviously, a bit of a step back last season. They've relied on the transfer portal, I think, a little bit more than I would have expected, just because when they first came in and took over that program, they were all about, you know, not necessarily putting a fence around the state, but re-embracing the state of Illinois and the city of Chicago. And I think they've gone away from that a little bit by going so transfer heavy. But this is a big year for them. I mean, they need to go bowling at the very least, right? I mean, there's no Big Ten West to hide in anymore. I understand that. The schedule's going to be a little bit more difficult. But they do have continuity. They have their OC coming back. They have their quarterback coming back. They bring back their defensive coordinator for the second year in a row. So I do think the program elements are in the right place for Brett Bielema and the Illini. It's about going out there on Saturdays and winning football games.
So, Matt, you know, this is a fascinating subject to me, how you put your team together. And you know, do you rely on traditional recruiting, or do you have to get very heavily involved in the portal, and do you need effectively like a pro personnel guy, a whole nother department to help you in that way? And we're going to see it maybe, you know, Georgia against Clemson. Clemson hadn't embraced it, hadn't jumped on NIL, and maybe was slow to the party with that. Then you got Notre Dame against Texas A&M, and we got another new star quarterback transfer for Notre Dame. So how is it a fine line in how you put that together, or do you just want to get the best team you can?
Yeah, I've never seen more press releases in one offseason announcing general manager hires, right? And I know that title has a very specific definition in pro sports and a much looser definition in college sports because there is no salary cap. But I think you're starting to see most of these blue bloods approach it that way, right? Like, how much do we want to allocate this year to finding a quarterback? How much do we want to allocate to finding a pass rusher, et cetera, et cetera? It's different. And you brought up Clemson. They are the perfect example. And look, Dabo Swinney has proved all of us wrong time and time again. He's one of 3 active coaches who has a national title, and he's got 2 of them. They're still a really good program, I think, if not the ACC favorite, an ACC contender. But you're seeing that fine line between being a conference contender and a national contender. And in the case of Clemson, for the most part, it's refusal to dip their toes into the portal. They're the only non-academy that did not take an incoming transfer this season, which is insane to think about in the year 2024. This is a program that obviously had elite quarterback play when they were winning big with Deshaun Watson, with Trevor Lawrence. They've got good quarterback play now. I wouldn't call it elite just yet with Cade Klubnik. But it was a program that was not necessarily recruiting at that level of a Georgia and Ohio State. They were right behind them, but when you had the quarterback right, when you had the defensive coordinator right in Brett Venables, and you had the culture element right with Dabo Swinney, they had enough there to get over the hump and win national titles. Well, now you're not basically portaling to band-aid your recruiting mistakes, right? If Georgia misses on a five-star, they could go out and get a transfer five-star tomorrow. Clemson is not doing that, and I think you're starting to see them fall behind on the field because of their lack of adapting so far. And it'll be very interesting. I mean, I think the biggest fear, if you're the ACC, especially after seeing Florida State lose last week, if Clemson goes out there Saturday and gets whooped by Georgia and then runs through the ACC, which I think is very possible, you're going to see a lot of people saying, see, the ACC isn't that good. They only deserve one bid. The SEC deserves four, five, et cetera. You're already, I think, starting to hear some whispers of that, and you're going to see more politicking than ever from the two big conferences, the Big Ten and SEC, when it comes to filling these playoff spots.
Meanwhile, Notre Dame uses the portal to find quarterbacks. College free agency produced Riley Leonard a year after Sam Hartman. I think they upgraded there, Matt. They go down to College Station, tough place to play. Texas A&M is 20th. Notre Dame might be overranked a little bit, overrated at number 7. I don't know yet. Preseason polls are very difficult to decipher. Marcus Freeman has a pretty good team, inexperienced offensive line. What do you expect Saturday night in Texas?
Yeah, I think that's the game of the week, David. If you're Notre Dame, you got to win this one because I think it's the only game you're probably going to be an underdog in. And if you do win this one, if you look at that schedule, boy, they really should go undefeated in the regular season. Now, I know crazy things happen in college football, but David, they play three true road games, only two of which are out of state, the first one and the last one at USC. They're the only power conference team that plays four group of five opponents. They play Miami of Ohio, NIU, and Army and Navy. It's a very, very, very weak schedule outside of this season. I think schedule strength more than ever before is going to be looked at and dissected when you get into those debates about who should be in the college football playoff. And so I know it's a TV show. I know they're a big brand, but this is one year where it would really behoove Notre Dame to go 11-1 or 12-0 and not find themselves in a situation where they're 10-2 and they get left out because of their strength of schedule.
I'm curious, when you look at the playoff and how that will change the game. You know, we saw Florida State lose its opener. Now, you know, it's not good to go to Dublin and lose to Georgia Tech, an unranked team, but that doesn't end their season, right? I mean, you know, maybe if they lose to Notre Dame, they lose to Miami, maybe their season's ended. But at this point, a bad misstep early doesn't necessarily mean you can't get back into the playoff.
Completely. I mean, it was disappointing, no doubt about it, but the season is not over. It's far from over. And the other part of this that I think we're all going to, adjust to in real time, this is an NFL model in the sense of, like, division winners, conference winners, get byes. So whoever wins the ACC and Big 12 will probably be the 3-4 seed and have a bye in the college football playoff. And if you look at the preseason rankings, the highest-ranked ACC team before last week, Florida State at 10. Highest-ranked Big 12 team, I believe, is Utah at 13. So they may be the 10th and 13th best teams in the country, but they're going to be seeded as though they're 3-4. And that's why I think if you're a Notre Dame and you can't get a bye, but you're not playing in a conference championship game, let's say you go 11-1 and get the 5 seed, you should be a 3 or 4, but they're going to put you at 5. Well, let's map out this scenario. You got a home playoff game against the lowest playoff team, which is probably a group of 5 team like the MAC champion or Boise State or something like that. That's a game you should win at home. And if you win that, you go to a neutral site to play a 4 seed, which is probably going to be the Big 12 or ACC champion, which might not even be a top 10 team. So already in that situation, you're talking about a Notre Dame team that's probably going to be favored in its first two playoff games. So I think the calculus when mapping out how this thing's going to unfold is going to be fascinating to see in real time, especially with the automatic bid aspect.
Great stuff, Matt. Keep up the great work. Thanks, on the Inside, man. Zone.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
That is Matt Fortuna. Does a great job. You know, here's an Notre Dame's problem. That coach loses 3 games out of habit.
you're not a big Marcus Freeman fan.
No, I just think he loses some games.
Bielema guy, but you're not a big Marcus Freeman fan.
You know, I mean, okay, let's talk about that for a second. You seem to be mad at me when I said I hadn't heard that at all. I think
I'm not mad at anything.
No, if Ryan Day doesn't win, I think he's in trouble. And that is kind of a standard that I don't believe applies to Illinois.
Well, of course not. I mean, Ohio State and Illinois are on different planes. But Illinois, after 4 years of Brett Bielema, as much as they like him and as much as he likes them, he's under 500. And that's just a college football reality. If you're making $6 million a year, you can't have a season that puts you and leaves you after 5 years under 500 without some sort of accountability or explanation for why we still should believe in him.
I totally agree with that. I do feel that if he has a bad year, he's on the hot seat next year.
Probably, you know.
What I'm saying? That's just different. Anyway, I apologize for making a joke at Dustin's expense about Notre Dame. I was really aiming that toward my brother. So hopefully they're listening. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score.
Swing and a miss, struck him out. Ball game. Cubs win. The win of the year. What a rally and comeback as they finish off the sweep in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's really hard to do against Major League pitching to come back like that late in games. You take a look at any team's record when they have a lead heading into the late innings, almost always lock it down. And when you have a lead that big, to rally and come from behind like the Cubs did, just a remarkable finish to this three-game series here in Pittsburgh.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That, of course, the Marquee Network. And that is Boog and JB talking about what the heck happened there. I agree it was the best win of the year.
The win of the year, 11 unanswered runs. They were down 10-3. He didn't expect them to come back. They actually did pretty well against Paul Skenes. 3 runs in 5 innings, knocked him out. Not knocked him out, he just wasn't going to stay there all day. Got to the bullpen, bottom of the order, and this was, in some ways, the Christian Bethencourt game.
Yeah.
7 runs batted in, backup catcher who is in Chicago in a Cub uniform only because of injury, only by accident. They find a guy, he hears a heckler at PNC Park, and he wants to prove him wrong, and he did. Drives in 7, Pete Crow Armstrong on base 5 times, 4 for 4, 4 runs scored. What a series for PCA. What a series for the Cub bats. In the last 7 games, they've scored 73 runs, their biggest run explosion since 1961. This is a team with the day off, still 5.5 out, tough road ahead. They're catching the Mets, closing in on the Mets. They're 1.5 behind the Mets. Still got to get to the Braves. Don't know if it's possible, Mully. Don't know if it's realistic, but they have put themselves in a position that we have to pay attention.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's the reality of it. You heard Jim DeShays say there, this really hard thing to do against Major League pitching. You know, it's not something that's very easy to do. Jay Cuda tweeted that teams were 1,192-0 in the last 7 years when up at least 7 to start the 7th inning.
Wow.
Can you believe that? That's how hard it is to do.
So that is
1,192 teams before them couldn't do it.
That's a very great statistic when you're also talking about Fangraphs percentages of the Cubs making the playoffs. Those are very interesting numbers. They mean a lot. But a year ago at this time, as the Cubs approached September, they were over 90% to make the playoffs, and then they choked. So maybe this year we have a different month, a different outcome. It sounds even ridiculous to say because we have been down this road before, and we have gotten carried away with one victory that maybe felt a little different. But the Cubs are hot offensively. Their bullpen, Porter Hodge, nice outing for Porter Hodge. You have to like what he's done. He went 2 innings. So the one question I come out of yesterday asking is, what's next for Kyle Hendricks and how long can they trust him? We're back to that point because he was bad. Six earned runs, didn't get out of the second inning, 1 2/3. You can't really go for that every fifth day.
Well, I don't know that there's much to do right now. Do you think? I mean, just feels like you got to, you know, you got a chance to get to the end of the season here. Most of the late cuts they make with people are in the bullpen.
Expand the roster. Yeah. Bring up Jordan Wicks. You got Drew Smyly still. He's still here.
Yeah, we saw him.
Nobody's taking him. He's not going anywhere apparently. So when you expand the rosters, I think maybe Wicks could be a guy that you look at the fifth day of the rotation. Kyle Hendricks day is a bullpen day.
Wow.
And you can't afford to lose games like yesterday was a game that Kyle Hendricks didn't give them a chance. I know he had some defensive miscues. They didn't do many favors.
I would like to point out that was a no decision.
He was bailed out by a Cub team that did something that the previous 1,192 teams didn't do. Okay? So thank you for that number because
that's beautiful.
That is why you have to not ignore that if you're Craig Counsell, if you're Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins. Love Kyle Hendricks. Love him. But the last month of this season, he's got to be more spectator and bullpen piece than he is starter.
Meanwhile, the White Sox are the first team, the fastest team ever, to lose 103 games. And we're going to bring in Ozzie Guillen and have a conversation with him next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.